We live in dangerous times. That's not news, I know. You know, there was a time not all that long ago that you could walk in any part of your neighborhood, in virtually any town, day or night, without fear. How many of you grew up in that kind of an environment? You could pretty much, didn't matter when, didn't matter where. You weren't always looking over your shoulder. You didn't have to live in fear. But that's no longer the case in the vast majority of our nation, even the small towns, the places where you think you could go. And for me, personally, I attribute this to two factors. The first is the increase of lawlessness. In other words, many people now no longer consider the law of the land binding or something that they have to follow. Laws are being ignored. The thinking is, what's best for me? If it's okay for me, then it's okay no matter what I do. It doesn't matter. Even that thinking of, as long as I'm not hurting someone else, that's not even true anymore. And in the same way, it's people that think that no matter what I do, if I don't get caught, it's okay. I didn't get caught. You see people apologize for things they've done on television, those kinds of things. I'm rarely convinced that they are actually repentant of what they've done. I think the vast majority of the time, they're sorry they got caught. That's what they're apologizing for. So the lawlessness is on the increase, and the Bible tells us that's going to be happening. This should not be a shock to any of us. As a matter of fact, one of the names for Satan is the man of lawlessness. But the second thing, I think, is the lack of integrity within our justice system today. Now, please don't get me wrong. I support and I value our local and state police departments. Those folks do incredibly difficult work under intense scrutiny now, because everywhere any of us go, there's cameras all around us now. You can't do anything without somebody recording it. Of course, there's no context. They don't understand why things are taking place. And now, I don't know if any of you saw this commercial, there's a new phone out. You take pictures and you can use AI to adjust the image. I saw that the first time. I said to Katarina, holy cow, that terrifies me. They can make you look like you're doing something completely different than what you were. Photographic evidence is no longer valuable because it can be manipulated. And it's been like that for a long time. But it's never been in the hands of people like you and me, the common man on the street. No, so it's not the police. I value them. I've got a very good friend who's a former Pennsylvania state trooper. And the stories that he told me are mind-boggling, especially the way that people treat those that are committed to helping protect them. Now, I realize there's good and bad in everything. There are people that are very good at what they do that wear a uniform. There are some that are very bad as well. I hate to say this, but there are people I think that are very good standing in the pulpit, and there's some standing in the pulpit that are not good. They should not be there. But that's not what's most important. What's most important is that we are recognizing who God is in these times. There is lawlessness, but there's a justice system that seems to be allowing circumstances and situations to go unpunished without consequence. I belong to a group online that talks about things going on in our country. I don't look a lot at that because I'd be mad all the time if I looked at it. And I've encouraged a number of you got to cut down how much time you're spending reading that stuff because it's bad for your spirit. It's painful to watch. But somebody had written something that was going on, and my comment, and I can count the number of times I've commented on one hand. I said, what difference does any of this make when there are never consequences? And see, that's what our problem is right now. That's why we're unsafe, because there are few consequences to those that do break the law. So then my question this morning is, how are we to feel any sense of security? How can we feel safe today? Can we feel safe? What are we to do? Is there any degree of safety that we can count on in our daily lives? Well, the fact is, protection and security is a basic need for everyone. Whether you're rich or poor, young or old, man or woman, People want to be able to go about their daily lives without looking over their shoulders in fear. If you're traveling, you want to know that you're going to arrive at your destination without fearing that your mode is going to be hijacked or destroyed somehow. Do you remember back in the 60s and 70s when they started hijacking planes? At least we heard about it. I always wanted to go to Cuba. Or was that just something they made up? I don't know, but it seemed like that was always the destination. Today, there are portable rocket launch systems that they can take planes out of the air. We saw, of course, what happened on 9/11. And yes, things have changed with regard to that, but there's still that in the back of the mind many times. You want to be able to go to sleep at night without fearing that someone's going to break into your house and steal from you. You want to be able to attend a wedding or a funeral, a sporting event or a concert without feeling like, is somebody going to start shooting in here? You want to be able to shop, to go to a restaurant, buy gas, purchase something online without fearing that your identity, your financial or personal information is going to be stolen and used against you. These are all the things that are present right now in our lives. And the issue with that is not only the pain and the struggle and the injury that comes from that, but it's also that when you live in an ongoing absence of that safety and the protection, you begin to realize that your life is filled with a sense of tension and stress and anxiety. And because of that, the security system industry has exploded. From home security systems to CCTV, closed circuit, GPS trackers, personal security guards, traveling now with people. Last year, it was estimated that the value of the security business in this nation alone was between $48 and $50 billion. And that's all over just the last few decades. But should the Christian look at this differently? And see, I believe that the answer to that is a resounding yes. We cannot, we should not be pulled into that vacuum of fear that so many people are living in today. And we can see this written in the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bible, turn to the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. This is actually a pretty familiar passage. Psalm 91, I'm going to read the first 11 verses for you. I got to get you readers back up here. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm going to get you guys to come up and do this. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Let's look just quickly at that first verse because it's worth taking the time to break it down because there's so much that the psalmist writes there. Here's the first part. He says, He who dwells. Now, to dwell means to inhabit. In other words, it's like your home. And the promise of this protection, my friends, is a universal one. It's for everyone because God's might and His power is over all things. And I've shared this with you so many times, but I still encounter it often, is that we usually make our issues and our problems, and whether they're personal or worldwide, we make them so grand that we somehow think there's no answer for these things. And in reality, if you were to see a comparison somehow, If we could see the fullness of God, which we never can, and compare that to the things that have us so fearful, we'd realize that they're nothing. They're insignificant in the presence of God. Now, are they something to us? Well, sure they are, because we are not magnificent. We are not all-powerful. We are so very limited. But we can never forget the fact that God is never constrained by those things that bind us. He's greater than all of these things. So anyone who believes in and calls on God will be under his protection. And see, the great news, church, is that for those of us as children, we don't even have to ask. You don't have to ask. Now, the Bible tells us, go before him, bring these things, call on his name. But his love for you is so great that regardless of the circumstances you're in, his presence is there with you. He is your guard. He is your shield. Amen. Now, the question you may be thinking, and it's a good one. Okay, Pastor Dave, if that's the case, if I've got Almighty God protecting me, why are these things still happening? What's the old question? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, they happen, church, because we live in a world that is sinful. We live in a fallen culture, in a foreign, or rather a fallen world, because the enemy right now has some freedom. Satan's got a little bit of leash right now. I mean, I'm with you. I would love for God just to come pick him up and just right into the lake of fire. That's the sound, by the way, it makes when you go into the lake of fire. You might want to write that down. I don't know how you spell that. Probably need to buy a vowel. But I want that too. I would love for that. But see, God's got an order. God's got a plan of how this is going to work. There is coming a time when Satan and the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire. We won't ever have to deal with it again. But until that time, the time is coming now where people are being told, you need to make a decision. You need to choose a side. You need to pick how you're going to live. Because we already know we can't live with one foot on both sides of the fence. We're told, you either have to serve me or you're against me. And see, that's still true today. We somehow think those things in the Old Testament where God called the people to pick a side to determine who they're going to worship, that somehow doesn't apply to us. The only difference is we don't have golden statues in our homes anymore. But the choice is still there. Who are you going to worship? You say, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm here, aren't I? Well, yeah, your physical presence is important, but where is your heart? What's most important to you? Because when you see that, when you recognize what's most important, that's who you worship. Now, some of you may not like to hear that, because some of you, I'm sure, think it's very important that you make a lot of money. And you know what? God's not against money. There's nothing wrong with wealth. What was God's problem with wealth? It wasn't money. It was what? Come on. The love of the money. In other words, money or wealth has taken the place where God belongs. My friends, it's very simple. Anything that occupies God's spot, if it's not him, that's idolatry. It's the same. And see, for us as Christians today, there's many things that are vying for your love and for your attention. There are many things that are always there looking really good. See, that's why Satan, he's clever. He's not creative. Satan can't create anything. He's a created being, but he's clever. He takes just enough of something that's right, and he twists and perverts it, and it's something that becomes very dangerous to our lives. It's a counterfeit. That's why we need discernment. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to pray for one another, to hold each other accountable, to be available to pray with one another. Those are the reasons that a church becomes important, because this is where you're going to find those people who care and love you enough to say, you need to think about what you're doing there. You need to be careful about that. And see, I love all of you enough to do that. Some of you I've done that with. There's been times in my life, in my ministry time, that I've had to give tough love to some people. But it wasn't because I was angry. It wasn't because I wanted to tell them what to do. It's because I love them enough to say, you're heading down the wrong path here. That's what being a pastor is. But it's not just the guy behind the pulpit. It's every one of us. We all have that responsibility to speak that truth into other people's lives. So he who dwells, that's all of us. The next part says, of the Most High, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Here's what of Most High means. It means he's God. He's the creator of all things. It goes back to what I just said. He's greater than any circumstance, any situation that we deal with. He's greater than your temper. He's greater than your doubts. He's greater than the struggles that you have, it seems, every single day. He's greater than those things. Nothing can overwhelm him. And the visual picture that's given to us by the author here is in verse 4. He says, it says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. I don't know how many of you like nature shows and all that kind of thing. We watch them from time to time. And when I'm not watching the ones where the alligator is eating the gazelle that comes down to lick water from the end, that's pretty cool. They have to eat too. You know, the alligators need to eat. But there is no place safer for a baby bird than against its mother's chest with the wings folded around. And see, that's the visual picture that the author gives us, that the shelter of God over us keeps us protected. And Moses uses the same analogy. If you go back to Deuteronomy 32:11, he says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spread its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. God's protection, church, is a common theme throughout the entirety of the scripture. And then even in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10, he says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, church, that's the God that we serve. He loves you. He knows your name. He knows the moment that you were conceived. He knows the moment you're going to draw your last breath. And in all of those things between, what he is looking for is a heart that's just surrendered to him. Yes, in the good times, thank you, God, this is great. But what about the times that aren't good? What about the struggles? What about the questions that you have? The physical things that you have to deal with? Hugh, praying over you, brother. And through these times, I can tell you, Hugh's got it right. He's not perfect. Are you perfect? Okay, just thought I'd check. Hugh's not perfect, but he's got a right heart. He's got a right attitude. People that are dealing with the struggles every day. I think of dear Sandy with her vision, her heart, and her attitude. I mean, this lady is such a blessing to everyone. And it would be, certainly, nobody would fault her if she just went, forget all of it. I'll just stay home. I can't see what I'm doing anyway. But that's never been her heart. It's been one of love and of kindness. She gives the best hugs in the world. But I do smell like her perfume for about 4 hours after that. So that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, the next one it says, will rest. Another translation of that word, will abide. And in Hebrew, that word is actually translated to mean a lodge. Now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of a lodge? You probably think of the mountains. You know, you got a fireplace, you got a porch to sit on. Look at the leaves and all that. I mean, it's just very peaceful. That's what that word means. I will rest. I will be at peace. Because, my friends, God's presence brings peace to our souls. When he is with you in those times, and by the way, he's always with you. The question is, are we acknowledging that, or are we so busy wrapped up in what we're doing with all of our concerns that we're not even willing to look up to where he is? But when we do, there's peace in that. There's rest. If I were to ask each of you to tell me a time when God gave you rest in a situation where there was no rest to be had, most of you could probably tell me. You could probably point to something. And if you can't, think back, because you need to keep those things in your mind. You need to keep those things present with you. And then finally, the last part of that verse says, in the shadow of the Almighty, once again, we are under his protection. Now, that shadow is not darkness. God does not bring darkness into our lives. He brings light. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that darkness must flee in his presence. You know, in heaven, there are no shadows because there's no sun shining in heaven. You don't need the sun because, you know, the sun shines in one direction. If there's an object in the way, there's a shadow on the other side. That's not going to be the case in heaven because everything is going to be permeated by the presence of God's light. He is the light. He's the source of all of that. Have you ever sat and thought to think, what is heaven going to look like? I do it once in a while for just a few minutes, Clayton, because then I get a headache. You know, that makes my head hurt. But I can't wait to see what that's going to be. Everything that we know here in the most beautiful days, and it's getting beautiful. I was out golfing, Doug. You probably saw the trees are beautiful out there. They're turning colors. Yeah, it's taking me 12 strokes to get to the hole, Clayton, but it's beautiful where I'm playing. That is a pale reflection of what heaven's going to be. It's just a whisper of the majesty of God's presence. There will be light everywhere, no shadows. But see, for us here today, what we are looking at is the cool comfort of his protection. That while there's war raging over in the Middle East, while our circumstances in this nation seem to be going in the wrong direction, while we're seeing sin and perversion glorified everywhere that we go, there's peace in his presence. He is a protector. Next week, from home, I want to continue with this and tell you four names that are used of God in those first two verses that all demonstrate who he is as our protector. And church, I want to encourage you this morning that regardless of what it is that you are walking through, God's presence is there. He knows what it is that you're dealing with. Katarina and I have been walking through some difficult times over these last many months, and many of you are a little more familiar, but you've all been praying for us, and I appreciate so much Dave's call for that, to pray for us. We value that as we pray for you regularly. There are times I wish God would just go, okay, you're done. Here you go. That's what you need. The answer's there. That hasn't happened. I don't know why. It's not because we don't ask. It's not because we don't have faith or believe. But see, once again, think about Jesus. Because as you pray for those things, as you're asking God to come to intervene, to make a change, Jesus did the exact same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be whipped and shredded to within an inch of his life. He knew that that crown of thorns, with those thorns 1 to 2 inches long, were going to be driven into his scalp. He knew he was going to have spikes driven through his wrists and in his feet. He said, God, if there's any way that this can happen without me having to go through that, take it away. But, the but's important, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. And that's our prayer, church. God, here's my heart, not my will, your will be done. And see, when you are living that way, surrendered to him, the things that God's going to have you walk through, they suddenly now are not this place where you think, this is it, I can't do it. Sure you can. Why? Because you're following his will. And he promises he'll provide a way. He promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. He promises us that as we go, he's going to be right there with us. That's my prayer for you, church, and for me, and for us, that everything that's taking place in your life right now, surrender it to him. Trust him, because he has a plan, and his plans, watch this, they're always perfect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that as we go through our daily lives, that we would never lose that knowledge, that understanding, that assurance that you are with us. You are our protector. Like the mother bird holding the chick, the eagle that will sometimes swoop down and catch the baby as it falls. God, nature demonstrates the power of your creation, but it also shows us what it means to be loved unconditionally. And so, God, I pray that over each person here. And as we leave and as we go out amongst the things that we need to do this week, may we keep our eyes on you. Not my will, but your will be done. And I thank you now in advance for what it is they're going to be doing. I thank you for the victories. I thank you, God, for those prayers that are going to be answered this week. And I also thank you, God, for the times that we must walk through, because it'll be, again, another opportunity for my faith to rise, to hold on to you, and to know that just as that old familiar footprints in the sand, I look back in the hardest of time, there's only one set of prints. That's not because you left. It's because many times you're carrying me. And I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Bless each and every person. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Protect us as we go. And we look forward to the next time we come together. In Jesus' matchless name, I pray. Amen. Amen.